are here with actress, model, activist, and the host of Truth the Show on SmileTime.com.
The very beautiful, the very feisty, and honest, and awesome Annalyn McCord.
Oh my God, stroke my ego some more.
So welcome to, allegedly, the competitive podcast. We are actually brought to you today by MeUndies.
That's true.
Do I get free undies, guys?
You do.
I mean,
get
I don't wear
free...
them, but I'll take them.
So then, what are you going to do with MeUndies when we give them to you then?
I mean, maybe hang them around my rear view, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to give them to you at the end of the show. Gosh.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by MeUndies.
MeUndies, you can get them at MeUndies.com.
Tell me a little bit more, Theo, please.
Well, whether you're wearing a suit or sweat, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring. Well, MeUndies is here to change that. No more boredom in your pants. How do you feel about that, Matt?
There's never boredom in my pants.
Oh, jeepers. Every pair of MeUndies is made from sustainably sourced modal.
That's cool.
A fabric that's twice as soft as cotton, bro.
Wow.
Imagine like a real, just like a soft baby's hand just cupping your nuts.
No, I will not.
Okay. Well, nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies, but once you try them on, you'll understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. That's MeUndies.com/funny. For 20% off your first
20%
order.
20% off the first order.
Yep, 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/funny.
Funny.
Yep, /funny.
Because we're funny. Because
we're funny, dude. And shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada. And you can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. So that's an option as well. And I'll tell you this, bro. If you don't like them, the first pair is free.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep.
But I don't see how you can not like them because I'm actually looking at them, and they have these Keith Haring designs, who is this famous artist that they actually have on the underwear.
Yeah, they're good.
So not only can you be sexy in these underwear, but you could be sophisticated because you're wearing art.
Yeah, and you
I've worn art, too, before, but his last name, forget
Jesus.
It. That was a joke that...
Well, whatever, bro. We're not going to go there. We're going to keep it Christian here. MeUndies.com/funny. For 20% off your first order. If you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. No questions asked. Dozens of styles. Check them out. And now let's get to Allegedly.
So we go to round one, which is our storytelling section. And this is when Theo and I each get to tell a story. And
okay,
you have to judge which story you like better.
All right. Yep. I'm a tough critic, y'all. So
good. I hope you are. And I just hope you're honest. And I hope that you prefer.
Brutally.
Good. And I hope you prefer men.
I love men.
Well.
Oh, wait, what?
That means two of us, girl.
Wait, what okay. is this podcast about? High five.
All right. Ben, can I get 5 minutes on the clock, please, sir?
Are you going first?
Yep, I'm going first.
He's getting right in
He's
here.
He's getting right in. This is a rare.
If there's no like- undies, I'm getting in there. Okay.
Love it.
All right.
Which reminds me, I kind of gave some chick a little bit of a hand job at the Comedy Store last night. Just remembered that.
Is
like
this
a
your story?
Knuckle
this
shuffle?
Is true.
Is that what you're
I don't know what it was.
Is this your story?
No, it isn't.
And you
your
just remembered that, by the way?
I just remembered that, yeah.
How did,
we got right. a clock going over
Sorry,
there.
Sorry, my clock's going. Okay, let me tell my story. When I was young, I was a child.
And, that's good.
Yeah, and we all were. And this is about the time in my life when I was like a middle-aged child, probably maybe about 10 or 11. My dad used to he was like the man at college, like at colleges and stuff. Or you ever see those people in the airport that like beckon you over to like fill out credit card applications,
yeah.
right? So my dad used to do that at colleges, right?
Yes.
And my dad was old when I was born. My dad was 70 years old when I was
no
born. He was
shit.
Born in 1910, so he was an old man. So as soon as I was pretty
I
much
have
tall
to ask,
enough,
how old was your mother?
She was 32 when I was born. So
sexy,
big age difference.
Wow.
So if my wife might not even have been born yet, if I want to play by like my family's rules.
There you go. Fair
so
enough.
If I see a 1 year old and I'm like, well, you know, what are her hobbies? It's not like I'm a pedophile.
Starting
you know?
To scout it out.
I'm thinking about the
You're
future.
You're not even remotely
fair
ready.
Enough.
So as soon as I was tall enough, my dad would let me drive in places, right? Because he was at that point, he's you know getting near 80, and he's pretty much ready.
was out of it anyway. Yeah. Okay.
So he'd be like 81 probably or whatever. And I would be driving around to colleges and he would let me bark with him at the universities and get people to come over and fill out credit cards. Well, one of the things that the credit card companies would do is they would give him like a gift. There's always like a t-shirt or something they give you, those people. So he would give, it was always something different, right? Well, one time they sent him all his Kit Kats, right? Them candies.
Yeah.
So one time they sent him all his Kit Kats, because a lot of the universities he would go to were black colleges in the South, and black people love Kit Kat.
Love a Kit Kat. Yeah. We love Kit Kat.
I mean,
Kat in the
that's
South.
Brother bait. If you want to get a brother over, you wave a Kit Kat. You know?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Black people like, they love some good candy.
Later. There we go.
All my black friends love some good candy. So what had happened was, so I had two younger sisters, right? And my dad, a lot of times, his car was like just loaded always with all kinds of just shit, right? Like he didn't take care of anything. His car was just loaded with shit. It had like roaches and fucking animals.
He had one foot in the grave already.
Oh, he did. Okay. Unfortunately, he had one foot on the gas pedal too. So he was cruising us around in this shitmobile, right? Well, he would take us to the park sometimes when he wanted to take a nap, and he would have us clean out his car, you know? So we'd be out there cleaning out his car, and they had this box of Kit Kats in there one time. We found it under a lot of this trash, you know, a lot of this brother bait, I call it.
Okay.
Brother and, bait.
Because all my black friends love good sugar. And so we got all these Kit Kats and we started feeding these squirrels in this park, right?
No.
Yeah.
Squirrel bait.
We fed a squirrel, right? Okay. And literally we started feeding one and we're like, Dad, can we feed these squirrels? He's like, hey, you can feed these squirrels. You gotta come over here. Clean out the car. You know? So he's resting and we're sitting there just on the hood of the car just throwing Kit Kats to this two squirrels we saw.
Yeah, yeah.
So then in the distance, I swear to God, you started to see squirrels kind of jumping over, you know, kind of like hopping towards us, right?
Oh
right. So it's like, oh, wow, some of these other squirrels, they like this. They know about this candy now. And I was curious as to how these other squirrels even knew, like if maybe a bird had seen us and went and told them, because the two squirrels we were feeding never left. So then before you know it, they literally, by the time we left, we counted over 30 squirrels
wow.
that we were feeding. We fed probably two cases of Kit Kats.
That's
probably
oh my God.
120 Kit Kats, which like was most of my dad's like product that he needed for work.
That
right?
He needed to give out to the
and
colleges.
And a rampage of hyperactive little squirrels running around town.
Well, look, no, fast forward about a week and a half, an article came out in the newspaper.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, like 30 squirrels had died in that
oh
park.
Oh my God.
I swear to God. And I, and
it's
I,
like
and
dogs. You can't have dogs.
I don't yeah. know. But I, and I can't imagine anything other. I can't think of any other reason.
So you're
why
a
that
squirrel murderer.
Well, now we'll never
first of all, I'm a serial squirrel murderer.
Serial
yeah, seriously.
Squirrel
don't
squirrel
belittle
aside,
me.
For God's sake.
And second of all, yeah, I mean, just crazy. So parents, you got to watch your kids out there. You got to watch what your kids are doing and you got to stay on them.
You know,
and
don't keep the black bait out of your vehicle at all times.
The black bait.
The black
that's
bait.
That's what he said earlier. I'm repeating
oh,
back.
Yeah, that's true. Now, my black friends love some good candy. And they love to get their sugar up at the universities. But unfortunately, man.
Proud moment in your life, huh?
Those squirrels aren't with us anymore. But I still remember seeing them hop over in the distance.
Yeah, that was when they still had life in them.
Their last meal on death row sounded pretty awesome.
Yeah,
here was the crazy thing about them. They would eat. They would fight over them. Then they would kind of slap in each other with their short arms. And they would eat. You'd see a squirrel eat four Kit Kats. Like, chill the fuck out, squirrel. You know, like, have some respect for yourself.
They're squirrels.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
They ate food that was that led to their death. So they're not necessarily.
That's the buzzer. My time's right. up. So that's my story.
Interesting.
Oh my God. That's a good one.
Our stories tend to be.
Very good. You can also call it very good if you want.
Our stories tend to be in sync. And we don't even talk about this beforehand, but not today.
Kill any squirrels.
No, I didn't kill any squirrels.
Okay, start the clock.
Ironically, my dad wanted to be a veterinarian and it didn't happen. He went into like clothing manufacturing. So we had every pet there was growing up. We had a boa constrictor. We had a hedgehog. We had parakeets, parrots, turtles, hamsters, and they all died. And I was like, Dad, it's a good thing you didn't become a veterinarian because you would have been awful. Anyway, that's not my story.
And if you're a Jewish pet owner and your pet dies, does your pet have a chance to go to heaven or no?
Oh, my God. It's one of the chosen ones already. Did you know that?
It's already a chosen pet. Like
yeah.
Like, that's right. It was on heaven when it was in heaven when it got here.
It's in Abraham's bosom.
There you go.
Yeah, dude, you're good.
All right. So my story, I'm going to tell a story about a blind date that I went on.
Oh, this
that,
is going to be good.
Was very interesting because I was in the closet at the time. Oh. So not only was it a girl.
No, really?
that's how, yeah. But it turned out to be a famous girl.
Ooh.
Wait, stop.
Yes. So I was living with a buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Who was on a TV, who was on a TV show with this actress.
Okay.
She had done a movie.
Wait, how old were you just at this?
I had just moved out. I was probably like 25 and she was probably like 20.
Okay, got it.
And so I knew of her from the show and she had a movie that was about to come out and do Gangbusters. So I'm so in the closet. Like, I'm like, yeah, send me up. You know, like, I want to go on a date. And so my buddy was on
now,
a
did
show.
Did you know
with
you was homosexual? Yeah, you just yeah, you knew
no,
fully.
I knew. Yeah, I totally knew, which makes this whole story even funnier. But so he says, I want to set you up with my co-star. And I was like, okay, what's her name? And he says, Anne Hathaway. And I was like, okay, Anne Hathaway. Well, it was Annie Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
thank
all right.
God she dropped that.
Yeah. She's got the Princess Diaries coming out or whatever it was.
Right.
And I was like, all right, you tell me what to do, you know, whatever. I'm down.
Tell
and so
me
he's
what
like,
to do.
He's like,
literally,
go.
How do I do it?
Yeah. What is this?
What is that thing?
Can you explain the gene to me?
Neither one of y'all likes labia.
Can you explain labia? So I went and picked her up. She was staying at her manager's house.
That's the first clue that you're gay.
Why? Because I went,
you
and
went picked,
her, picked
up. Her up.
Yeah. Is that pretty gay?
No, that was so
no,
sweet.
No, no one does that anymore.
Exactly. It was gentlemen.
I quit doing it then. I think I'm giving the wrong impression.
By the way, I do a lot of ungentlemanly things as well. But,
oh, okay. That's hot.
So yeah. I picked her up at her manager.
He passed out in a frat boy's mouth one time. So he is seedy.
No, you're wrong. It's the other way around.
Oh, whatever.
The frat boy passed out. Well,
Jesus.
There again.
Where's my Bible?
So I picked her up and this, I was not working. You know, I moved out here to become like a director or a writer. I was not making any money at the time.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, let's go to Sushi Roku. Okay. So Sushi Roku.
You're not making any money. Take you to Sushi Roku. Thanks, bitch.
It's bad for two reasons. Number one, I'm not making any money.
Right.
Number two, and this has nothing to do with being gay, but I don't eat fish. I've never had fish. I have never had fish. I've never tried it. I've never tried any seafood in my life. My dad hasn't either. Never even tried it. No desire to.
Who kills all those animals and won't even try fish?
I do like fishing, but I don't eat fish.
At least
so
not
we go.
Squirrels.
And how do I say it? The date obviously was destined to fail from the start.
Clearly.
But it did not go very well. It was a combination of me. I ordered miso soup and rice. She ordered everything on the menu.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice move, Annie.
Everything. And so I was like, oh, immediately I'm like, oh shit, this sucks. And so we're talking and she's talking to me about prom and stuff. And I'm like, I'm so not into
prom.
This. Yeah, because she had just graduated high school not too long ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was so
you got
not
two
into
minutes
this.
Left, Maddie.
Okay.
The story's bad.
I was so not into it. So I was just kind of like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, eat your
we know, eat your everything.
Eat your everything. She didn't eat any of it.
Oh,
my God.
Any of it. She had one bite. And then she was like, you know what? I'm really not that hungry. And the bill came. And I was like, motherfucker, I'm gay. You know, like I didn't even say it to
her.
No, I didn't say it to her. But I wanted to be
classic.
Like, I'm gay. Like, I don't have to pay for this. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So I took
only a Jewish guy would come out of the closet just to not pay for something. That is the most Jewish move.
So ever. I took her home and I'm in the car. And it's when you're in the closet, you know, it's this whole thing. You feel like you got to do certain things. So I was like, I gotta kiss her. Like, I think that's the right thing to do. And in my head, I'm going like, I'm being the good guy, giving her a kiss, right? And so I'm like, I go in for the kiss. And then she goes, oh, no. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I just, you know, like I kind of liked you and all. And then she's like, I'm not feeling it. And I was like, all right. And so she left. And then in my head again, I was thinking, I'm gay. How did I lose out on this completely? Like,
so you still felt rejected even though you were gay?
Obviously, completely felt rejected. Exactly.
That's
and then I was like, why the hell should I feel rejected? I'm not even interested in this first place.
Yeah.
The cap to the story is I saw her about a year ago.
Oh my God, stop.
And I ran into her haphazardly and I was like, hey, do you remember me? And she was like, yeah, didn't we go to dinner once? And I said, yeah. And she goes, how are things? I said, good, I'm gay.
No, you finally told her, huh? Did you get her to split the, did you
You're like,
did
I rejected
reimburse
you first.
And you owe me
Can you Venmo me $42? Isn't Venmo a Jewish dating app, actually?
Funny.
That's
okay, no more Jew jokes. I'm done for the year, I think.
So that's my story. That was
That is a good story.
Awkward Anne Hathaway.
Really good
and
story.
You know what? She was very sweet when I ran into her again.
She
was very sweet. And she was like, how are you? And how's our mutual friend? And she said, I'm married now and whatever. And she made sure she noted that. And I was
she's
like,
into
right.
butt stuff, though, I read somewhere. I remember reading an article one time. She said it on Leno, I think.
Wait, okay. Is there something wrong with that?
No. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
It just doesn't read very Anne Hathaway to be into butt stuff, right?
Well, it just seemed
because
like at
she
least
did
you
Princess
guys,
Diaries.
At
exactly.
least you guys had that in common. You know?
Oh, God.
God.
All right, so that is the end of round one.
Oh,
and
that's
Anna
a good
Lynn,
round.
The, hey, can I score you at the end of the fucking show? Or
yeah, you have to do
you?
That as well.
You will have to pick a winner. You know, these
I
points.
I pick you as it goes.
Yeah, you could pick a winner of the round. You could award points as you will in a Whose Line Is It Anyway sort of fashion. You can
I
do whatever
know what
that you
is,
want.
But
okay.
Sure.
You can't, but what you can do is weasel your way out of picking a winner this round.
I won't weasel my way out of.
Okay.
All right, so.
But this is very difficult. These are very good. These are actually very good stories. I actually didn't think you're going to be that good.
Oh,
so
we came prepared.
Yeah, they never do. They never did any surprise them with that reach around.
The squirrels speak to my side of, you know, my homicidal side.
I feel that.
Wanting to murder.
And Anne Hathaway speaks to your homosexual side?
And my definitely not the fish. That the whole thing just didn't work for me in that regard. Your side of the story was awesome.
There you go.
Hold on. I got to think about this. I was so sure it was just like, whatever, no one can top squirrels, but that was pretty fucking good.
True story.
Wait, I have a question about your story.
Yeah.
And this might be the deciding factor. Had you hooked up sexually with a guy prior to going out with her?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, this fucking show. That story's got to go to you. That shit is
ding,
fucking...
Ding.
Oh my God.
Why did you get it then?
Because that to me, the whole fucking story, I was wondering that. I don't know.
If he'd already hooked up with a guy?
If he had been fucking dudes and was like, let's go on a date.
Whoa, don't
chick.
Say fucking them. Just say maybe blowjobbing each other.
That's as far as Theo likes to think it goes.
Oh, your body's
that
a temple.
That is as far as it goes.
All
dude.
Right, I will take that win. So
that is, I'm at, and I'm going to say that's bullshit.
Well, you always have.
I'm the judge, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Wow.
Damn. You always have round two to
well,
come back.
Well, I'm a bitch now. This is feminism. This is
there
feminism.
So I will.
New bitch. I will say, if it was a 99 for him, it was a 98.9 for you. The squirrel story was fucking legit,
running
dude.
A fever. Yeah, well, it wasn't that good.
Apparently. Well, thank
offended.
You,
Mia.
Offended.com.
You got to work on that before your fucking show comes out, dude.
Yeah, I'm offended.
You need to simmer down.
His show's called No Offense.
There you go.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Oh so, my God, I want to give him a hug and maybe a blowjob since you've never had one.
No, I just think that male on male should stop at blowjobs.
Stop it.
And as far as I'm concerned, it does.
All right. Fair enough. So that is the end of round one. I proudly take that win. You want to talk a little about Me Undies before we go to round two?
These underwear are awesome.
Yeah. Theo and I are literally just sitting here in just our underwear right now.
Well, no.
They're that comfortable that, no, that's not true.
But no worries, Annalyn.
Maybe in my mind. But yeah, these Me Undies, they are really cool. And I remember seeing like the billboards around town and going, what are Me Undies?
Yeah.
And by the way, I think I've figured out Me Undies is like British, like I got Me Undies. That's not
it's Australian. Me Undies.
Me Undies. Oh, that's it. I got Me Undies on. You do it. I got Me Undies on.
Okay. I've got Me Undies. Tell us more.
Well, every pair is from the Modal, as you said, which is very comfortable.
Softer than cotton.
Yeah. They have dozens of styles, limited edition prints, like I said about the Keith Haring print, mm-hmm. to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not.
I guess you can support our podcast by going to MeUndies.com/funny. And that'll be 20% off your order. And we're not joking. They're amazing. You're going to love them. They last. They're reliable. They're not going to get all stained up. And you can twerk in them and they're not going to like rip or anything. You're solid.
You apparently have a lot more going on than I do.
Look, they're for men and women.
Yeah.
Men and women, MeUndies.com. Get some for your husband. Get some for your wife. And the first pair, if you don't love them, they are free.
So that's MeUndies.com/funny.
Yep. Support.
All right,
allegedly.
So now on to round two.
Yeah.
And
I
we go
I
to
might
round.
Start wearing underwear, y'all.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. And you were like,
but
yeah.
But don't know. I know.
Clearly.
I honestly think these MeUndies are the first time I ever touched a pair of women's underwear. Oh, I think.
Well, because it didn't go that far with you, right? Every time you went on a date.
Really? You never did? Oh, wait. One time he tried to go down on a gal and vomited on a crotch.
I didn't vomit. I had it was a little like, you know, like
a little rebuttal.
Yeah, there you go.
A little rebuttal.
I think I folded my mom's underwear once in the wash. So
that is a gay.
That goes back to the gay thing. And now, now it all goes
sealed
back.
The deal for
there
you.
We go. So now we go to round two, which is our interview segment with our great guest, Annalyn McCord, star of TV, screen and stage, and has your own show.
Yes, Truth. I do. I have a show.
Tell us about your show.
Okay. So I have an online talk show. Which is great because I love online. I love podcasts because I get to say fuck. don't like censoring. It really gets to me. So the show is online, smiletime.com/truth.
Truth the show, right?
Truth the show is the hashtag, truth the show. And basically it's once a week, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific. It's live and it's fully interactive. So I have video chatters calling in from London at 4 a.m. their time and New Zealand or Australia tomorrow their time. And you know, people calling in from everywhere and we talk truth. So we talk about a lot of different stuff. We're starting a new series, which is actually going to be a lot of fun, I think. The couple of episodes we've done on date, we talk about taboo topics in you know, in society that I just don't feel like. I don't feel like the topics are spoken about in a way in the coming from the angle that I prefer, which is the truth coming from honesty.
Yeah.
And so we tackled last night. We were talking about bullying and we had MMA fighter Uriah Hall on.
Yeah. Watch that.
So he's fucking amazing, but was beat the shit out of it when he was a teenager and came here from Jamaica. He coming from that became this amazing fighter and he's getting back. He had a loss that really affected him and he's coming back. He's back in training and getting back into that right now. But he
it seemed like bullying almost helped him then.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, that's the angle that I like to take on things like this. I actually took last night, I took the angle of we are always talking about the bullying is so bad. Bullying is so bad. Bullying is so bad. And what that does is it vilifies the bullies and it basically makes a victim out of survivors. You're not a victim. You're victimized. You're not a victim. I'm a sexual assault survivor.
Right.
If I stayed in it and every day I was like, I was raped. I can't live my life anymore.
Right.
I'm a victim. I'm not. I'm a fucking badass bitch. I'm a survivor. And right. I don't like that title victim. And I don't like the victimization, like the vilifying and victimizing in language because I think it continues to perpetuate the issue.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
I talk about the aspect of why are we creating bullies?
Right.
Bullies are victims too. They shouldn't be made because I have going back to your point of like, you know, age gaps between dads and moms. My dad has I have a little brother who's 20 months old.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. My dad's wife is awesome. She's 34. She's like 4 minutes older than me.
It's a young boy. It's a boy.
A little brother.
Matt's,
yeah.
Matt loves young
Stop
guys.
It.
Oh my God. Back the fuck off.
yeah. Seriously, Matt.
He's amazing. But I like talk about the show. Like he's perfect. He's wonderful. He loves everybody. He doesn't judge anything at all. Color, race, you know, sexuality, whatever. He's just perfect. He has no ideas in his head right now. And we teach that.
Yeah.
We create that. We create a bully. If someone turned my little amazing, beautiful brother into a bully, I'd fucking want to kill him like you did those fucking squirrels. Probably not with Kit Kats, though. but my point is bullies are victims, too. And talking about it in a way that opens the door for actual change with this dynamic versus treating the symptoms. Let's talk about the root problem and fucking go after it.
Yeah.
So that's what the show does.
You're dropping some tea.
You know, trying.
No, I love it.
Trying, doing my thing. But so we're launching what I want to be a continual series throughout, like mini series throughout the show. And it's going to be boy on boy, boy on girl, girl on girl, girl on boy, dating advice.
Mm.
And I want our callers to come in and be the ones giving advice. So I have my guest next week is literally hopeless and not my hopeless romantic, like hopeless. I love him so much, Devin. He's amazing.
It's a man.
It's a guy. So we're going to have, you know, chicks, guys calling in and being like, dude, like you got to cut this shit out. And I'll be interviewing him, but I'll be enlisting the show.
That's cool.
To give him advice. And I think that it will be educational for, you know, as far as the spin we'll put on it, which is my take on the feminist movement, which I think pushed a little too far. And yeah. I'm, like I said, I'm a badass bitch and I don't mind saying it, but I do not need to prove that by pushing down the male aspect. Right. And yeah. in my opinion, I think the problem with the women's right movement and the reason we don't have even the equality that they want to this day is because we don't enlist our men. And if we bridge the gap versus labeling it a woman's issue,
right.
label it a human issue and say, hey guys, we need your help on this because you guys are at the top of this or that. And we aren't there yet. Can you give us a hand? Can we know that your voice will be heard? Will you help us? Will yeah. you lend your voice? When you see, you know, I speak all the time.
There's a lot of pointing fingers and stuff like that.
There's so many pointing fingers. So when you're, instead of pointing fingers, like I like to, when I talk about the issue of rape, which I do, I speak at college campuses. I was at Notre Dame. I'm talking about it very candidly. I talk about sex very candidly because a part of the problem is that we push that topic down. We repress it. Women were repressed. That was why there was a big issue. Now they're trying to like burst through. And it's like, you know, we need to just have a balance. Like it's just, we're human. That's the balance.
Yeah,
we're not man
right.
and women. We're men and women. We're human.
We're human.
So, so with the sex thing, with rape, I talk about it, you know, very candidly. I'm like, look, I love sex. I didn't like it the night I was raped, but,
yeah.
but I love it.
I never
so,
raped anybody.
That's good. I'm proud of you. Good for you.
I don't feel like I need to say that I haven't done it. I haven't done
well,
it.
Well, some boy fell asleep in your mouth. What is that called?
That's Wait, not true. If he fell asleep in your mouth, then he was awake at one time.
He's wrong.
He was already asleep.
Oh, wait, no,
to examine
right,
this,
the guy
bro.
Fell asleep. Well, yeah, there you go.
You might have blow. Did you blow rape someone?
Stop it. That's no, I did not.
All right, just checking on you, dude. Making sure no. I'm not sitting next to a criminal.
Criminal. No, but the reason that I laugh with it or that I talk so candidly is I'm not going to sit here and cry about something that happened to me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
If I was still in pain and suffering, I need to work through that and deal with that because it's a very real thing and it was a monster for me. I was raped a million times in my head.
Yeah.
But not a million and one because I'm done. And so I laugh at it. So I make, you know, I make what was my story, that chick that I don't know anymore, a topic of conversation to take the shame away from mm-hmm. it. When I make it light, I take the shame away. And every single time people come up to me and tell me, hey, that happened to me too. Hey, I know someone that happened to, you know, and suddenly right. it's not such a big taboo topic. And that's what we got to do with truth. So,
you know what I would love to get your take on is what's going on with Kesha and, the whole situation of, I don't know how her, she says she was abused.
You
want to
hear
raped?
My tape? Because I posted it.
I want to hear it from you. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just hear it from you. But I mean,
I posted a video online. Actually, she hit me. She hit my people up and wanted to send flowers and thank me for publicly supporting her. I didn't even know, you know, I didn't know it would reach her, but people retweeted it like a billion times, which is awesome. But what I said was, men don't rape. I said, first of all, I want you to know there's so many wonderful men in the world, supportive men in the career professional world, in the romantic world, all of the above. Men don't rape women. Men don't abuse women. They don't perpetrate those things onto women. Cowards do.
Yeah.
If she was raped, if these abuses that she was subjected to, according to her testimony, happened, that's a coward.
Right.
If Dr. Luke did that, he is a coward. And I would say it to his face. He's not a man. And he doesn't deserve the title of being a man, in my opinion. Mm. And that's the kind of language that I like to use. Like, I like to really,
it's
you know,
effective.
Yeah, because I want my men's support. So,
right.
so I got to bring my men with me to tell you, hey, you're a fucking coward.
Yeah.
Because real men don't have to rape a chick.
Right.
Real men can get a chick.
Yeah.
And then I went on to say, secondly, Justice Shirley, don't just use the law. Use wisdom is what I said in the
yeah.
video. Like appoint a team that will support Kesha, that will get around her, that she knows that her songs are going to be made in the way that she wants them made. And that they will be the democracy that says to Luke, hey, fucker. By the way, I call him Luke because he's not actually a doctor. but hey, you know what? You don't get the final say. We will go to the press and say that you're abusing your power. If you like, if I were that justice, well, I probably wouldn't have made the same decision. But had you know had the pressure that she has, I imagine that they went to a female justice and Dr. Luke had a female lawyer in order to like not get any pushback on those things. Because and I understand. That because there would have been, I would have been one of the ones giving pushback. But if Justice Shirley really feels 100%, and I would ask her, hey, do you have a daughter or have you ever been raped? Because I have.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one thing. It fucking sucks. And it took me 10 years to come out about my story. And someone tweeted to me during the conversation about it. And he was like, stop going around saying that this guy raped her. It wasn't proven in a court of law. And I said, first of all, I said, if. Keyword.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Secondly, my rape wasn't proven in a court of law. I never even admitted to being raped for 10 months because psychologically I was fucked.
Yeah.
I didn't even admit to it until my rapist went around telling everybody that I was in love with him. Like the whole mutual friend group that I kind of just like isolated myself from everyone because I didn't want to run into
too,
him.
I feel like.
But it was like, he was trying to justify why I wasn't in the group anymore. And he was like, she's in love with me. And it came back to me through one of my really close friends. And he's like my big brother to this day. He gives me so much shit. And he was like, I know why you don't hang out anymore. You're in love with them. And I was like, no, that's not it. Yeah. And I just had like all of a sudden, you know, like my panic attack, like full anxiety. And in one second, and I was just like, everything in my body needed him to know that I was not in love with this guy. That was not what this was. And he kept pushing me. And I was just like, I can't say this word, but I can't let this be the story either, because that was almost like being raped emotionally and physically. And it just, he kept hammering me because he's like, yes you are. And that's how our relationship is. And he said it one too many times. And I was like, Kirk, that's not what happened. I was raped.
Yeah.
And I literally, the second I said, I wish I'd never said it. I like panicked. I flipped out. I suppressed it even more than I had before. Went into supreme denial about it to the point that I was on 90210. And my story, the showrunners come to me and they're like, we want to do this story and it's very serious. You know, it's about the issue of rape. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. This is fantastic. Let's use this. I work with anti-human trafficking, anti-sex trafficking. That gives me more of a platform. She's telling, like, we go through a year of this story. We read table reads. We film episodes. Mm-hmm. We are in the aftermath of her rape where she is in the hallway of I'll never forget this moment in my life. Hallway of the school, and the other character, I've already read this. I've already filmed this. I filmed the close-ups. I filmed the master. We're on her close-up. And the other actress is saying, you're in love with him. You're in love with him.
That's
but
crazy.
She went like she, it was a instant trigger the way she performed it on her close-up. And I went into hysteria, like ran off set, like just don't even like full PTSD. And that was multiple years after the incident. So, yeah.
Well, that's funny because I do want to say you said something which other people don't necessarily say. You said if. Mm-hmm. Right. So we don't know. And so one of the things that I was having trouble put together, but what you just said made more sense to me is, you know, there is video proof. She did a testimony or whatnot, and they're saying where she never said it happened. So, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. That's what you're saying. Cause people.
I would never have told, no one to this day would ever know if he had not gone around saying what he said, because I was a woman who was all about my power. And that was the weakest moment of my life. And if no one had to know, I would have been so happy.
Right.
Because that would have meant that I was still powerful, but he made me weak in that moment, as far as the way I believed at the time. And when he went around and shamed, like slammed me that way, tarnishing to me, everything that made me strong by not saying it, all the strength that I thought I had retained by never coming forward. In that moment, I was just like, I felt weaker than I did when I was raped. Yeah. I would have rather been raped again. Honestly, I was like,
that's interesting because that's exactly what I'm saying is she's getting a little flack because there's video where she said
video
that.
Where she denied that, like in 2011.
That is so common for victims. I absolutely 100%. Anyone who does any kind of research on psychology, anyone, think for one second what it would be like. First, like literally think about your most embarrassing moment. Now think about your most intimate moment. Imagine telling the world that.
Right.
Imagine telling a whole bunch of people right now on the air, right now, the most embarrassing and most intimate moment and voicing it. And you didn't choose it. Right. It happened to you inside of your body. If it happened inside of your body, it is one of the worst things on our planet. It is horrible.
But did you second guess when that video came forth? Did you second guess, or you just feel like that was just part of the trauma?
Being a survivor? Absolutely not. That's trauma all the way. I would have redacted it if I could, 100%.
Really?
For years. Yeah.
Wow.
To not have anyone know.
And you think so? That's probably the same thing as she went through.
Yeah. I mean, suddenly everybody's in your fucking business and everybody, you know, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but like there's a reason why women don't come out for 40 years with Bill Cosby or whatever and say their stories. It is not because they're coming out. It's not really exciting to tell people that you were raped. Right. It's not a fun thing to do. It's not cool attention.
And who
it
would
sucks.
Want to admit to banging Bill Cosby, too? I mean,
very true point.
Good point. It's like, well, my last question on this, and this is okay. playing devil's advocate, and yeah. that is.
And I'm just going to interject this. But so what we're talking about is the Kesha, the recording artist being ordered to have. To keep making music under the Sony label and producer Dr. Luke, who she alleged raped her.
Yes.
Who's not a doctor.
Put that in later. I just
who is
make
not
sure
a doctor at all.
Who's not really a doctor, which is way sketchy.
So weird.
Like to say you're a doctor.
My devil's advocate question is, if for whatever reason it's proven or whatever that it did not happen, do you think this is steps backwards for... people for the not a movement, but for people who go through this when someone I'm not saying she's crying wolf by any means.
Listen, I'm the first one to call out someone. I've had girls, because I've had thousands of emails from victims, other survivors who have reached out to me and said, I came out with my story a couple years ago, and who've said, you saved my life. I was cutting. I was suicidal, which I was as well at the time. In psychology, something that a psychologist will gauge when they are treating a patient is their limbic system response,
right.
Their emotional response to a trigger. That is something that is very hard to fake. And as a doctor, you would know physiologically the signs, the true signs that the body makes in response to the truth versus a lie. And that would be something of interest to me. I would be interested to have a doctor evaluate her physiological presence when saying it happened and when saying it didn't, because that would tell a lot.
Right.
But here's the thing. I'm the first one to call out someone who I think is falsely accusing, and I watch physiological behavior. I'm an actress, first of all. I've studied psychology as a hobby for a very long time. My aunt has a master's degree in it, and I've always been obsessed with it.
And you think that she's telling the truth?
Her response on that, filmed on that day, shows severe trauma, abuse by a monster.
The 2011 video.
The video, the moment that it was announced that she was not going to be able to, get out of her contract. I haven't seen all the video stuff. I literally saw it on Twitter and had my response to it. Because there's so little support, because it's so hard to prove, it is, you know, it tends to be choosing sides and stuff, obviously. But I do look at that personally before I make a public statement about anything.
Right.
And I know, because I've been there,
right, exactly.
what it's like.
You believe that
so
trauma, that you could see that.
I know she's experienced trauma at that man's hand. Yeah. I don't know the extent of it, but verbal abuse is fucking horrible. Physical abuse is fucking horrible, and sexual abuse is fucking horrible. All of the above, any of it, she shouldn't be subjected to that coercion of knowing that he's in power above her in any capacity. So that would be my response.
To raise a question in my head, which I find interesting, is I'm thinking of all the people who have come out to support her, and they're all women.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well,
first of all,
A lot of the heavy hitters are women who, in my opinion, most likely have experienced it.
Have experienced it.
Yeah. There is a fire. When I found out about sex trafficking, my homicidal squirrels moment happened about traffickers in Asia and around the globe. I can't tell you how much like I want to murder, but like torture, like hack and like shred to bits these other people for someone else.
Yeah. Because
I couldn't rescue myself. I couldn't rescue myself. So to rush to rescue someone who's going through it, you feel like you're saving yourself in a little way. So, you know, I would say that whenever you see that, you know, someone who rushes to save the whales, you know, there's something in their childhood probably where whales were like, they watched, you know, whatever, Free Willy. And it was the thing in their childhood that got them out of some kind of trauma. And that's why they're like, why did you kill a whale?
Right.
Which I don't have that much passion about whales. I understand it and I get it and I support it. But it's like, for me, it's human beings who are sexually perpetrated on. I really have, you know, a lot of passion.
Why do you think men aren't Do you think there's a taboo or something with men coming
Let's
to the defense?
Let's call them cowards. Yeah. Oh, you men coming to the defense of it.
Yeah, because other people were publicly coming.
There aren't a lot of men, you know, who, first of all, the issue of men being raped is so suppressed because women don't get the support. So the men who are rarely, if ever, would come forward anyway, because what's the point? These chicks aren't getting help. Why would I get help?
Yeah.
I know male survivors. I was in an Uber ride when I was telling my story to an Uber driver, and he told me that he had been molested as a kid, like teenager. And I, you know, was telling him how to get out of the dynamic with that same person in his family today. But the only way that we get people to talk about their story is by saying it first with no shame. Huh. And so the reason why men wouldn't necessarily come forward, it's not personal to them. Men, you know, like if a father whose daughter was raped, he would probably come forward and say something. I bet there's a man on Twitter who's come forward and said something if his daughter was raped.
Yeah. Because it's personal. Probably wouldn't say it.
It's not personal.
Yeah.
But
and it's probably a lot of just married men and their wives are just trying to get some anyway. At a certain point.
I don't even know what that means. But okay, we'll go with it.
I have another question though. So at no point did you feel like, because I mean, I'm sure the alternative to believing Kesha's statements and believing her allegations is that it's some sort of a business scenario that she doesn't want to be involved in anymore. So you didn't think that that was the case at all? That never crossed your mind?
Well, I'm manic and a conspiracy theorist. Right. So I always think the worst in people.
Right.
Everyone, you guys included. Like,
here's a thought,
just being honest right now. I was like, are they going to cut things that I've said out and make me look like an asshole?
No, it's not
based on you guys. It's literally my brain. So to answer your question, absolutely. The first thing I thought of was, well, that would be a good ploy, wouldn't it?
Mm, right.
But my experience with trauma victims, emotions don't lie.
And after watching the video and seeing how she reacted.
Not even the best actress in the world, in the way it happens, so instantaneous. It is a trigger to the amygdala and from the limbic system. In 1 second, an embedded firing pattern happens neurologically and it just emotion.
Right.
And I, you know, your little Annie Hathaway couldn't even do it.
Like, she would need
her music and get, you know, to get in the moment that happened.
So when you saw that was proof
to me, that's all I needed to know. Trauma has been experienced by that woman at that man's hand, in my opinion.
And I have a question here. If you were Kesha at this point, would you continue to make music under the label?
Oh, that would give me so much drive. I would fucking make the best shit in the fucking world.
You would.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would use this, and I told her in the second part of the video was pretty long, so I had to like tweet it twice. But the
documentary.
Second part, the documentary that was my video to Kesha.
But it was earnest, though. I thought it was very forward and brave of you to do that. I thought
it was, you know, again, it's for me. My story has stopped being so much an actress who does things, you know, whatever. It's a woman who does things, activist things, who also happens to act, and
right.
It's become a platform for me. But you know, I said to Kesha, I was like, this is one little moment in your personal hero's journey. I think about her 20 years from now. What a fucking powerhouse she's going to be because of this moment right now. Like, that's what we don't think about. We're in the middle of something, a crisis, and we're flipping out because it's real.
It's hard to see, yeah.
But 5 years down the line, 5 months down the line, the changes that happen because of suffering, the things you go through. Yeah. I know it because my kids,
So you could see that with her. You could see that this is going to power. So you would
I know it can.
So you would say, make the best music, even though Sony's going to make money off of this and that. You go
Fuck
out there
them.
And you make the music that is going to show your message.
Absolutely. You and your fans say F you to
you
everybody.
Fuck Dr. Luke right back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so he's going to make some money. Let me tell you one thing. Money doesn't mean shit.
Right.
If you're a happy person, you're happy with nothing. And that's what my kids in Cambodia have proven to me.
Yeah.
And if you're a billionaire, you can be fucking unhappy as they come. So, you know?
Wow. Well, that's our Kesha roundup. But I think it's really cool that she reached out to you too, and that she is sending you stuff.
That was so beautiful. That's sincere. I didn't expect that, but it just goes to show to me what a genuine person she really is, and she wasn't doing it to the world.
Right.
And I want to say something real fast. I know that this is not the way your setup goes typically, but just the whole Taylor Swift and Demi Lovato thing, and I just want to say, fucking Taylor, thank you. You know, like not only is she emotionally getting screwed over right now, Kesha, with the dynamic for as far as probably how she sees it, like, and then to have that like lump sum of not that, you know, whether or not she can handle
afford
it or
it,
not.
But still, yeah,
that is such a gracious thing. And I get Demi's point too. And I see, but whatever, but you know what? The fact that the reason that I saw what was going on was because of what Taylor did. And the point of why say it to the more than likely they would have figured it out anyway. And so, you know, anybody helping someone, let's not question their, yeah. Like they're helping someone like yeah, there's, exactly. There's things to complain about. Trust yeah. me. I know I've got plenty of things.
Yeah. Demi might just be getting bored.
That's true.
But she's got a lot of amazing, you know, she does a lot of amazing stuff out in the world too. Right. So yeah. It's like, let's take a deep breath.
Are you going to hang with Kesha now? Are you guys going to become BFFs?
Yeah.
I will support her, you know, forever because I'm personally invested in her now, just energy wise. So whatever. But,
amen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
She's a badass and she will continue to be.
Well, I'm ready to switch a little topic.
Yeah, I am too. Let's get a few more questions in before we finish this round, right?
I want to know what's going on with you as far as now what I was reading. So are you and Dom back together?
Dom and I are back together.
Yeah.
Yes.
So congrats. That's awesome. And I know because we've talked before, I know.
I'm heartbroken.
How did this come about and how do you feel?
You know, talking about human story, which I do a lot, clearly, yeah. Dom went through, he posted online, so I can talk about it. He had skin cancer last year and I came back into his life as his friend. And I took him to his doctor appointments and I was there with him because whether or not he realized it, I love him. And he told me one of the things he said, he's like, "You really love me, don't you?" And I was like, "Oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? After all this time, you're going to ask me that?
You still don't know this?
I have gave up all my 20s for you, you little shit." we laugh about it because he did not trust women. He had so many, talk about feminists. He had so many like chicks who just like would literally sense his energy because he's so alpha and so masculine and just like be an asshole to him. Be like, they always assume that he's not intelligent because of how he looks. He's brilliantly intelligent. Oh God, why did I say that? His ego is a good one. He's very smart. He's, you know, one of the things that's sexiest about him is how incredibly intelligent he is and well-read and prolific and a big thinker. And, you know, these chicks would like assume because he looks like a big brute that they can like talk down to him and, "Oh, you do not do that to Dom." That to Dom. You also don't slap him during sex. Which apparently I learned, I was like, "Don't you ever do that to me again." I was like, "Oh, you are doing exactly what I want, so we're good." he's amazing. But yeah, we had a moment there where we were just, I was, you know, he was going through it, man. It's scary. Cancer's not a fucking word scary. You want to hear. And yeah.
And it just kind of grew. You guys got
closer. It was
closer,
like, we were literally in the truck and we were looking at each other and we were giving each other shit about something. And I was like, "What are we doing?" And he's like, "I don't know." He's like, "Ugh. This is probably why we don't work." And I was like, "No, this is exactly why we work. And it's annoying." So, yeah.
So are you, I mean, you must be happy. I am happy.
I have my best friend back. So it's cool.
So now
I don't even believe it. No. Sorry.
Now, do you think this is a...
They always go right into the next step.
Well, I know you guys were close to, you know, marriage and whatnot. Is that something that...
No, we weren't. No. Look, you know, the way I see it, a lot of conversations have been had about different things. That was my PC response where I don't respond when I don't actually say anything.
Well, okay. Do you suspect that he'll propose, though?
Or did he already?
Oh my God, I love the silence.
Wait a second.
The guesses keep coming. For me, I like the idea of taking your time with things.
Okay.
Clearly we're not going anywhere.
Right. So, you're not going anywhere. But I mean, there must be like,
there's a lot of pressure from everyone in the world.
It's true. It's weird.
But for yourself though, with you guys being separated and then back together, I mean, you're only going to be able to get, you know, now you're together. So there's that opportunity.
I guess it's my whole anti-society thing. I'm like,
Right.
So it's you, not him then.
He's 100% traditional and that is for sure. And if the question is asked, I will definitely say yes. That is the, you know, but I have said for me personally, I would love to just let life happen, let the ebbs and flows. And if it feels for him that it's something, I'm not pushing back on it, which I used to do, which is crazy. I just my ideals were a little more rigid. I've let go of that,
right.
But, I'm open to it. We're not there yet.
Okay.
But you'll be the first to know.
Yeah, please.
So we're not
yet. You want kids?
That's something I don't know either. And I'm letting myself have a good 7 years to decide because I wouldn't want it until I'm in my mid 30s anyway. So he has four children. So
yeah, I know
have,
that.
And I have 368 children in Cambodia. Yeah. So, you know, we got a lot of kids.
You got your hands full.
Yeah.
Okay. So outside of him, the most handsome man, I want to know who's the most handsome man you've ever seen in Hollywood? Like you saw him and your jaw just dropped. Like who was that man?
Ooh. Oh my God. Okay.
Present company
saw
excluded.
Him like in real. Oh, you guys are obviously the most handsome. It's like ridiculous. Hey, right. This guy over here, Mr. Soundman.
He's better looking than us, that's for sure.
But Trace has my heart.
Yeah, there you go.
Day before anything else, I learned what that means. saw in real life or just in...
Yeah, like general? Curious.
Okay, so this goes back to childhood for me, y'all. It's very serious, okay? I'm a little bit of a geek. And I used to watch a show called Smallville. And I used to have a man named Tom Welling on my wall. And I was at the upfronts for the CW's 1 year. And in walks fucking Superman. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so cute. And I was like this, you know. Hi, I'm Annalyn. Nice to meet you. Yeah, I think I've seen your show. Yeah, you're great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like trying to be all cool.
Right, trying to be cool.
And he was so nice and genuine. And I was like, why did I play bitchy?
Yeah,
like,
you
why
were so Lex Luthor.
I was like, I went all
why'd you play Lex Luthor?
Like between him and Robert Downey Jr., who I saw, he was doing the On Our Stages, Marvel like has. And so I'm literally like 10 parking spaces down. And everyone in the trailer had said, oh my God, Robert Downey Jr. is out there. We know you love him. We know you love him. He's out there. And I was like, oh my God, I got to go to like my car and do something. So I literally, this is what I do. I go to my car. I see him 10 parking spaces down. He's talking to someone and I like get something out of my trunk and I drop it and I go, and I like bend from the waist all the way down pick it up.
That's awesome.
He didn't see anything at all. He turned the other way and walked the other direction. I was like, oh, that was my moment. I ruined it.
Wow. Well, we got to wrap up round two.
Okay. Yeah. Let's wrap up round two.
All right. So that's round two. So you have to decide who won round two, who was a better interviewer.
I was a better interviewer. Oh my gosh, that was like a round. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I kind of slipped those rounds in.
Theo, you totally, you like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Theo likes to slip it in.
Kind of seedy. Kind of seedy.
I don't know. Matt went with the whole devil's advocate questions.
Matt did a good job, I think.
He did a really good job.
You can give it to Matt.
You gotta give it to Matt.
Yeah, okay. I will happily take it.
So Matt's already gonna win the podcast.
Probably,
unless I come back in this. No, this is round three.
Round three.
So we have round three.
This is just a fun little debate.
Okay.
And we picked the topic because you are a fashionista and you are always dressed beautifully and in style.
Mm-hmm.
He's my makeup.
By this man right
my
here.
My stylist, makeup Trace, artist. Thank
totally
you,
agrees.
Trace Watkins.
Trace Watkins is your
he's
stylist.
He's my image consultant. Is that what you call yourself?
Image consultant.
Yeah. And Trace is in here with us today as well, guys.
So we're gonna talk about man buns.
Man buns.
Yes, the
this
trend
is the
of man
best
buns.
Debate ever. I'm so ready for it. Let's
and
go.
We have different sides. So Theo, you have 30 seconds. Tell us what you think about man buns.
I don't like the man buns because first of all, a man's supposed to have pretty much not a bun. I feel like as a man, like think about this. What if you went to court and the judge has a fucking man bun? You know what I'm saying, dude? What if your mom meets a dude and he comes to the house and he got a man bun? You can't respect that motherfucker. So that right there shows us we can't have this shit.
So you just
buns
think
for women's.
It's just not natural. It's not
it's
meant
not
to
natural.
Be.
It's not right.
It's
unless
not
you
right.
want to. Yeah. Unless you want a stepdaddy that seem real just questionable.
All right. Well, my point of view, and this is kind of a whole general thing, is whether it's hair or whether it's whatever, anybody can do whatever the fuck they want to do.
But that's broad. You're not being specific.
So what? I'm not going to limit the way someone can write, they're going to cut their hair, dye their hair, do their hair. Personally, I'm not going to rock a man bun, but if you're going to do it and pull it off, and some people do pull it off, then more power to you. I'm not going to knock it, you know?
Yeah.
Just because it's
ever. Okay.
Annalyn McCord, what do you think?
Well, Matt, like, everyone has the right to do what they're saying, but I fucking hate man buns. Yeah. So I can't stand
Ben's
them.
Excited
I
too.
Was on the Explore page of Instagram and I saw there's a whole Instagram dedicated to man buns and I like to lost my shit. I went around the house screaming, "This should not exist! Screaming. I don't like this so much."
Wow.
So Theo, wow, you had me at I hate man buns.
Yeah,
so.
That's our thing. That's like our thing, you know.
All right.
It's really not good, especially not man buns on your beard, which I've also seen.
Ooh, are they doing that?
I was at a restaurant getting served by a dude with a man bun on his beard, and I really don't like a beard, especially not in my food.
Yeah.
So a man beard is really gonna make me lose.
All right,
my shit.
That's where I cut it off. Okay, too. The man bun. All right. Well, Theo, you won that round, but 2-1. I win the podcast.
So Matt wins the podcast?
Matt wins the podcast.
Yes. And on that note, I will happily give you some underwear.
Oh my God.
I wanted to be the one to put some underwear on
you. Do you
want
to pull them up to your navel?
We also have a hat, too. A MeUndies hat.
Yeah, we have a MeUndies hat for you. And we have
some MeUndies.
Oh my God,
these are really cool because they're very comfortable. And actually, these are like
mini skirts. There's so much material. I don't know what to do.
A famous artist, Keith Haring, that... has his designs now on this.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
they're really awesome.
Pairing.
So you can pick out some.
But she doesn't wear underwear.
Well, here's
but
when
you'll
I
wear some MeUndies, won't you?
I'll wear MeUndies when I'm not wearing anything else.
There you go.
So that, you know, Trace doesn't have to see that thing that he don't like to see.
Okay, that's
but
a reason.
Normally you don't wear underwear.
I don't typically.
Are you wearing underwear
I
right
literally
now?
Why did I put underwear on? Because he was at my house. He was like, "Put that away." And I literally put panties on today, which was weird.
And I'm like, "Bend over," and I made her do it.
Oh yeah, the skirt that I had to put because the dress I was wearing earlier was when I raised my arms, you could see her.
I am erect.
Like, there he is.
Does she have a name, by the way?
No, it's not your mom. His mom's name. His mom named hers. It's Molly. It's hilarious. She doesn't have a name, but she's a she for sure.
Well, she has some new clothes. The Empress has some new clothes. Yeah. Can you tell us a story of something that you do in your underwear or something you have done in your underwear?
Oh, wouldn't you just love that?
Ooh.
Yeah. You know where my brain just went. No, I can't say that at all in life, ever. What else do I do in my underwear that's not that?
Right.
Yes.
No, actually, I'm going to say this. Okay. You know, because fuck it.
Yeah.
Okay. Too much repression in the world. I will wear underwear to a date, which is rare.
Right.
Not me having dates, wearing underwear.
Me having undies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My MeUndies. But I will wear panties. To a date when I use my little trusty remote control operated internal vibrator to shock my date boy, which I normally do like on the first date just to like kind of set a precedence, which is why I really didn't have long-term relationships for a long time.
Wow. Okay.
I couldn't figure that part out. I was like,
so you like to give yourself the old electric chair at dinner, huh?
And gives the date.
I just hand the remote and I don't say anything. And he's like, "What's this?" I'm like, "Fucking figure it out."
Wow.
I'm in, dude.
That sounds like a fun game.
I'm not interested in whatever,
but I think I'd like to play it
looking at each other like we are both erect.
But now there's the one that's controlled by the iPhone.
No. Oh my
God. I'm in Vancouver, dude's here, or vice versa. He can get, well, now obviously it's
he
my man,
it
but back
little.
In the day, literally. So I'm on set filming a project. I'm going,
get out.
Or on the plane that time.
On the plane too, yeah. It's just like, you know, it makes life more fun. Orgasms make people happy. They produce dopamine.
They do, actually.
Let me tell you one thing. Happy people don't like killing things other than squirrels. And
it was an accident. They were eating them candies.
They do like Kit Kat.
They do it accidentally by feeding them chocolate. So, you know.
Fair enough.
Well, you are welcome to have some of these wonderful pairs of MeUndies.
Don't let Theo smell them, for God's sake.
And yeah, if you want to mail them back in a few weeks. We will. I'll give a pair to Ben, to our producer. I know he'll be fired up.
But did I mention that my man was a prisoner on Prison Break?
Oh yeah, exactly.
You might not want to.
Yeah, true. Be careful.
That's a good point.
Well, first,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming and for being so candid and open. Yeah. And we love you.
We love. Oh, well, we love my personalities, and I love you guys too. Maybe you guys can come on Truth sometime.
Absolutely,
we had a great time. We'd love to.
So everybody, come go awesome. Watch Truth on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock.
Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific on SmileTime.com.
Yep, and you can find it hashtag Truth the Show, and you can follow you on Twitter at.
I am Annalyn MCC, and on Instagram at the Annalyn McCord.
Love it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks
cool.
for coming
we'll checking
girl.
In. And thanks for bringing in your fashionista suit.
your image consultant,
Trace Watkins.
Faced by Trace LA.
And thank you, MeUndies. You guys have a good one. We'll
thank
see you guys
you.
Next
Bye,
time.
Guys.